You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome back to that Chelsea podcast, where Chelsea have just lost the Carabao Cup semi-final first leg away at Middlesbrough. Yeah. Out of all the scenarios, of all the planning ahead for the podcast in sort of weeks to come, I did not think this was not a scenario that entered my mind. Joining me to look back on a very disappointing evening at the Riverside Stadium, it's Harrison Burridge. Harrison, stupid question, seeing as the full-time whistle's just blown, but how are we doing, my man?
As it was last time I was on it, I was doing good until the football started. And then the football has typically ruined the evening again.
Indeed it has. Harrison, as I always do guests, I get them to give themselves a plug. So tell people where they can find you and all your stuff with the Chelsea social, etc.
Of course, my own personal at HBurridge2 on Twitter, and then the Chelsea social at the Chelsea social on Twitter as well. Join us there, because I'm sure we'll be breaking this one down and trying to talk about what went wrong in the next coming days.
Indeed. Harrison, right, let's get into it. Before we sort of break down sort of the game or what it is to, I feel this episode can probably be quite short just because this essentially was a hark back to what we saw, you know, early on in the season, what we've just seen at Chelsea a lot. So over 5 years, Chelsea dominate a game, don't take their chances, switch off, get punished, and then essentially just can't break down a low block, have loads of possession, move the ball around, have the odd chance here and there, but can't do anything. Harrison, that was a game I've seen so many times before, so I'm wondering, you know, thinking of new ways to try and describe what we've just witnessed.
Yeah, exactly. That first half was very lethargic. There wasn't the zip that you needed to break down the side that I was going to sit in the 5-4-1 formation we had as well. Whether that's symptomatic of the fact that we just haven't used the same players every 3 days, who knows? Because staggeringly, there was only 12 senior fit outfield players in that squad tonight, which is quite mental to think about with the squad size Chelsea actually do have. But that's not to sugarcoat it at all, because when you're on that pitch, there's enough quality still there to try and create regular opens, and that's what they didn't do. Dominated possession, dominated the ball, spent so much time in that second half parked in Middlesbrough's half, but rarely threatened Glover in the Middlesbrough goal. And the frustrating thing was, the couple of times we did, he fumbled them a couple of shots. You're just thinking, get some shot offs, test him, because he did seem a little nervy and unsettled in that goal. And I think that's a real frustrating thing, because ultimately you can't score without shooting. It's the underlying principle of the game, and that's what Chelsea didn't do enough of tonight, amongst other things.
Yep, indeed. Indeed. Harrison, games can just swing on moments, and reality is Cole Palmer gets a glorious opportunity to put Chelsea 1-0 up. He's played through by Johnny Howson, which kind of just says it all, and shoots wide, and then a few minutes later, Middlesbrough go 1-0 up. Let's just go to the Middlesbrough goal, because that's, you know, one of Palmer's, you know, chances that he missed in that first half. I mean, he could have had a hat-trick at half-time, and we'll get onto that in a sec. But Harrison, it's just such a poor goal to concede. Isaiah Jones basically does Levi Colwill down the right. And then he puts a ball in, and then there he goes. Hackney just escapes Moises Caicedo, and he's got so much free time, so much free space just to slot past Petrovic. And it was basically all Middlesbrough offered it. It was basically their only shot on target that I can really remember in the game, aside from the opening minute, which was basically just a powder puff shot that was easy for Petrovic to deal with. Just so disappointing and such a poor goal to concede in a, you know, and you know, in a game like this against Middlesbrough, that you can't really afford to do that. They're living off that one chance that they will hopefully get, and they took it.
Yeah, but I imagine Michael Carrick and the team probably sat down in team meetings and drew up how they're going to score a goal, and I imagine it wouldn't have been too far off how they did it. Long ball in behind, used the pace and power of Isaiah Jones, and he was some going into the game I was worried about, and I mean, he's played a key role in the deciding moment. It's just Cole had a mare at left back tonight as well. He was a bit all over the place, which then does beg the question again, why? Obviously, Posthumous sees something in Ian Matson means he doesn't want him to play left back. Obviously, he's leaving the club anyway now on loan. But then at the same time, you had an academy left back on the bench. Just this persistence, I think, with trying to play Cole out there is hindering us more than it actually is success at times at the moment. I think that, especially in the first half, so much came down his side. But then once it gets into the middle, there's enough bodies there, and there should be enough bodies to clear a simple square ball. Alarmingly, Thiago Silva was only jogging back for that moment. He was way out the picture and he jogged back. And realistically, if he sprints back, he's in that mix to clear the ball. But you mentioned the name there, Moises Caicedo. He should be the one tracking it happening and making sure he cuts that ball off, because it didn't really come in with much power. It's one of those where so many components have gone wrong in the space of about 20 seconds, and it's the killer moment. And it's a story of the season in many ways.
Yeah. But Harrison, Chelsea did have chances to equalise before half-time. As you mentioned, Glover was susceptible to shots, and he does spill a chance that Cole Palmer sort of inexplicably puts over. I mean, Harrison, as bad as and frustrating as it is, on another day, Cole Palmer's got a hat-trick at half-time. It is also incredibly maddening that Chelsea, who were actually, to their credit, in recent, you know, their past few games have actually been fairly clinical. You look back at that Luton game, that was Chelsea being clinical with a chance they got, and today was just the opposite, the profligacy return, and that was just so frustrating. Obviously, Cole Palmer was, you know, sort of playing sort of up front or sort of that false nine role, whatever, tonight with Armando Breyer on the bench, and he was involved a lot. It's just unfortunate that Cole Palmer just had an off day for Chelsea today, and it just happened like at a really critical, crucial moment, just a worst time for that to happen.
It was always going to happen at some point. He's been fantastic since coming. There's always going to be the moments when he's off it, and it unfortunately it's in arguably our biggest game of the season so far, and it proves costly, at least for the moment. Thankfully, there's still 90 minutes of football, or potentially more, to save ourselves and save this competition and the fate in it. But yeah, I mean, playing him up front, you just wouldn't think he'd miss those chances, because it was very much that. Whilst the defending errors are one side of the story of our season, the other side is the finishing. And it's come back to bite us again tonight, after you mentioned the last couple of games, Luton and Preston, been pretty clinical, to be fair to Chelsea, by Chelsea standards as well. And, well, especially that Luton game, crucially clinical, or else you're not coming out of there with 3 points after their late fight back. And that's the annoying thing. When you've had a couple of good performances, a little bit, you're building momentum. You do go to a place that's going to be tricky under the light, the atmosphere, the home crowd up for it. And you give away chances that you really should be putting in the back of the net. I think it's fair to say at least two of those should be finding the back of the net from Palmer in the first half. I've given the benefit of the doubt on the first one. I think, to be fair to him, one defender came across and kind of blocked off half the goal. But it's no excuse, really, for missing those chances. You do just wonder, I'm questioning a bit the decision to not start Armando Breyer, because it was screaming out for a bit of a focal point up against the tall Middlesbrough back line at some point, just someone to play in the balls and playing the crosses to, because greatest respect to Palmer, he's not going to win many headers up against 6 foot plus centre backs in the middle, and that was one area that I think Chelsea fell short in.
Yeah, that defeat obviously means that Middlesbrough are the first lower league side to beat Chelsea across any domestic cup competition since Bradford won 4-2 at Stamford Bridge in January 2015. The 28-game streak is over. Thankfully, this has a second leg, unlike the Bradford game. And yeah, Hayden Hackney became the first Middlesbrough player to score against Chelsea since Mark Viduka in August 2006, ending their run of 14 hours and 6 minutes without a goal against the Blues. Some damning stats there. Harrison, I guess what was frustrating was that you go in at half time, 1-0 down, and it is frustrating. As I said, Chelsea could have been thrown up naively, just given how Chelsea played recently. I thought, you know what, it's fine. At worst, Chelsea will come away from this game 1-1. But actually, in the second half, we created less. And we did, you know, we just looked utterly, utterly clueless at points. That was just incredibly, incredibly worrying, really. And yeah, this is now, I mean, we're in a position now where, you know, a week ago, a few days ago, thinking, oh, God, get the first leg wrapped up. And then in the second leg, we can see some more academy graduates and continue that feel-good factor. We're not going to be probably seeing any more academy graduates unless it's Alfie Gilchrist again coming on. Wow, that just really did not go to plan. Harrison, let's kind of forward this on a little bit now, because obviously on Monday we got the draw for the next round of the FA Cup, and it's Aston Villa at home. All of a sudden, from, you know, in the previous episode, so it's been Chelsea, this is a period to take care of business. Obviously, there's the Fulham game on Saturday, and then there's a 10-day break due to Chelsea having their turn in the winter break before others do. But Harrison, now all of a sudden, there's a four or five day period, maybe even 8-day period if you include Liverpool. Well, all of a sudden, life for Maurizio Pochettino could look pretty, pretty difficult. You know, not long ago we were saying, oh, January, you know, there should be a chance to progress to a Wembley final, progress up the league table and progress, you know, through to the fifth round of the FA Cup. That is still possible. You know, we have got another home tie in the cup in Aston Villa. But Harrison, all of a sudden, you know, life for Poch can all of a sudden become quite difficult again. And said that Tuesday the 23rd against Middlesbrough, Saturday the 27th, I think, as it currently stands against Aston Villa, although that could get moved for TV, I guess. Then Wednesday the 31st against Liverpool. All of a sudden, that 3 games in 8 days looks pretty, pretty scary for Maurizio Pochettino.
It's going to decide the fate of our season, potentially the fate of Pochettino and his job, depending on and how it does go, because you can't really, you can't lose a semi-final over 2 legs to Middlesbrough. So that's going to be quite embarrassing, be on par with the Swansea one from a few years back and falling at the semi-final hurdle there. And then there's the other cup competition there, home tie against Villa. The last home game we actually lost was against Villa, which is a little crazy to think, because
it was Brentford of the last home game we lost. We did lose to Villa early on in the season. But yeah, Harrison, point is that all of a sudden, you know, Chelsea could be out of 2 competitions and a viable pathway to Europe as well gone.
Yeah, and I mean, that Liverpool game is a great opportunity as well, because they're not going to have Mohamed Salah. Most likely, I don't think he's, even if they get knocked out in the group stage of Egypt, I don't think he'd be around. But then there's the problem of going away to Anfield, and our away form has suddenly nosedived out of nowhere after a promising start with it in the start of the season. I think there's now 4 or 5 losses in the last few games, been on the road and conceding a lot of goals as well. So it's not a positive outlook at the moment when you kind of throw it forward and consider the fact that it's so much is kind of resting on just a couple of games of football at the end of January, when it's not even kind of like you consider the crunch time of the season.
No, exactly. Obviously, Fulham on Saturday is a big game, and that takes on a bit of added importance now following the defeat tonight. But it does sort of really feel that is just, you know, a stopgap, really. And I said judgment will come in, you know, with that Middlesbrough and Aston Villa ties. And then I guess maybe to a lesser extent, Liverpool. Obviously, I think if we win both those ties, then the pressure on the Liverpool game eases off a little bit. But yeah, all of a sudden, wow, Maurizio Pochettino, you know, from, you know, seemingly looking like Chelsea were going on a bit of just a mini run and just taking care of business, all of a sudden the pressure can now mount. Harrison, you know, forget Fulham, let's look ahead to sort of the second leg. Thankfully, I said the second leg is at Stamford Bridge, where Chelsea have been on, you know, good run of form, contrary to our away form. Stamford Bridge has sort of become, you know, a happy place for Chelsea since that defeat to Brentford. They're unbeaten there since. You would imagine that all going well, that Chelsea do take care of business, that you'd hope and you'd think that they should not be as profligate again as they were then. And Middlesbrough did also pick up another couple of injuries, which also does make today worse. I mean, Middlesbrough had to make 2 subs before the 20 minutes were up. But yeah, Harrison, let's sort of look ahead to the Middlesbrough game. The second leg, Chelsea should be able to overturn this. I think, you know, it's obviously not a good position to be in, and it's not a position they should find themselves in ahead of the second leg. But Chelsea should overturn this deficit, shouldn't they? And they still should be able to find themselves in a Carabao Cup semi-final. It's just, I think, unfortunate that a lot of damage has probably been done to the confidence, that any sort of confidence that was potentially building with Poch and this team.
Yeah, a win. I mean, it really should be the case for this team, but as you touched on it there, it's so much easier coming into the home tie at least level. They've now got to go into a situation where they've got to score two goals. I'm not sure if there's extra time, so it could just be a case of one on penalties, but realistically, you need it in your control. So you need at least a couple of goals, and if you concede a goal, that mountain suddenly comes a lot steeper for a side that doesn't always score multiple goals in a game, albeit that has drastically improved this season on the last couple, which is kind of reassuring to think about with the way the land lies at the moment in this tie. But I think Pochettino hopefully will have picked up on a couple of things that didn't work tonight and will change that for the tie. As I've already mentioned, Broya should probably start because he's got, unless Nkunku makes a recovery, you imagine Broya is the only fit striker at the club, at least senior striker, come by the time that tie comes around. He's got to be up there. You're going to need a focal point because undoubtedly Cross is going to be swung into that box multiple times again, and you need someone who can win headers. And Broya showed that on Saturday against Preston in that game. But I think it's just they need, and the other factor as well is Millsborough just going to come and sit back behind the ball. So, similar to what they did tonight, but I guess more to a greater extent because the outlook is so clear for them. They know they can draw at Stamford Bridge and progress to the final, which is a great prospect for any side in their position. And Chelsea's going to have to play with so much more intensity and zip in their playing. The wingers direct, trying to just cause a bit more chaos because I don't think Chelsea did enough of that, trying to just unsettle the Middlesbrough defenders because there wasn't enough of that tonight and it all looked too routine for them.
Yeah, indeed. Said, thankfully, Chelsea will have had a 10-day gap there, so they should feel quite fresh. Said that, you know, the fact that Chelsea sort of have the winter break, you know, at this time compared to others is certainly helpful to us. I said it tonight is obviously disappointing. It is alarming, of course. I'm not going overboard. Harrison and I aren't going overboard because said thankfully there is a second leg, so it kind of is hard to go more overboard. We'll see if the second leg does not go to plan. That's when the time for the reaction, you know, the dramatic, angry reaction to really start. But this is a blip, and is, you know, a blip on Chelsea's campaign, and you know, without a doubt, whatever happened in the games against Newcastle this season, Man United, etc. I think, Harrison, without doubt, this is the lowest point of Maurizio Pochettino and this Chelsea team this season, even if it is only 1-0, because we can talk about, you know, the fact that maybe on another day we scored, you know, we have that game, we're 3-1 up or something at half time, but also none of those chances in that, you know, that Palmer sort of hat trick, they were sort of given to us sort of on a plate as well, really. They were not chances we created. We did look quite devoid of ideas against a championship team, as you know, a championship team that is not quite, you know, at the level they were last year when they reached the playoffs. This is a Middlesbrough team not as strong there, and with, like us, an injury crisis. So again, that was just pretty worrying. And then Harrison, you know, the 27th of January, Aston Villa, I guess that's the second part of the big test now for Poch. If we, you know, assume that the Middlesbrough tie second leg goes well, then I guess that gives him some grace. But Harrison, obviously, it is another chance to test ourselves against Unai Emery's Aston Villa and see how far we've come. Villa under Emery, you could argue, have sort of started to wobble a little bit in recent weeks, started to drop points. We know that is a game, actually, how they play should suit Chelsea more than, say, the game tonight we saw against Middlesbrough. People will look back to that game against Aston Villa earlier on the season and go, well, maybe if Gusto didn't get red carded, etc., if Sterling had squared the ball at 0-0, etc. How do you kind of just feel about that tie? Because I said there are a lot kind of ties for Chelsea out there than getting an Aston Villa side currently in the top four in the Premier League. But thankfully, it is a home tie where Chelsea where their home form has improved, and it is an Aston Villa side that is maybe slightly susceptible. Just what are your thoughts? And again, it's quite like, how big is that tie for Chelsea now? I imagine it's quite hard to sort of, you know, discuss him. We don't quite know the fate of what's going to happen in that second leg against Middlesbrough. But it is, again, it just does feel that it's really going to take, you know, for any confidence, that it's really probably going to take win against Fulham, win against Middlesbrough, and probably a win against Aston Villa for any sort of confidence, really, for confidence, really, to return this team. And again, for sort of fans to sort of, or faith to be restored in Poch, because said that's just how damaging tonight's been. And has said, as pleased as I've been with Chelsea getting the job done, the wins against Luton and Crystal Palace were not the most convincing post what we saw against Wolves as well. And Preston, that first half, people did not like, and understandably so. So just again, how big is for you that Aston Villa game?
Inevitably, it's carrying big importance. Obviously, how big that actually is, as you kind of touched on, hinges on what happens days before in the Middlesbrough tie, because Chelsea progress against Middlesbrough as they should do, they're not so reliant on the FA Cup being kind of one of their routes into Europe for next season, if they've already got that Wembley place secured with the League Cup. But at the same time, it's a winnable tie against Villa side, as you mentioned, that are wobbling a bit. Villa side that struggled to get past Middlesbrough themselves just a few days ago, and the side that Chelsea did play well against in some parts in that league fixture in the season. They just made, similar tonight, made a couple of defensive errors. Ollie Watkins went and scored, missed chances themselves. They hope that is the story of the season. But it's one that they will once again be targeting to win. It'd be one they probably will need to win, I think, regardless of what happens at Middlesbrough. I think for the sake of trying to get continued belief and the backing of the fans, because there's a few scenes between players and fans at the end of the game tonight, which is never good to see. But to kind of to grow that belief and continue the momentum they had built up around Christmas, they're going to need to be winning that title. I don't think there's... Obviously, you wait and see what happens, but going into it, there can't be many excuses for coming out of that and not progressing, given it's a side of Chelsea's stature. There's still enough quality in this side, regardless of form, errors and whatever else goes into it, they should be winning. Aston Villa, at the same time, be knowing they can come and cause... Probably wouldn't be considered a shock with both losing two league positions, but be coming and kind of trying to upset the apple cart a bit at Stamford Bridge and claim another kind of notable win, seeing as their last win at Stamford Bridge ended the manager's reign, and it could have similar effects this time if it was to happen again.
Yeah, indeed, especially if the game a few days ago has not gone to plan. So yeah, all of a sudden people, it's gone, January's gone from looking like a fairly comfortable month up till that game against Liverpool at the end of the month to all of a sudden, is it potentially a month that decides futures, decides that the trajectory of Chelsea season will almost certainly does now. And yeah, it's a big week, and all of a sudden a Carabao Cup semi-final second leg at Stamford Bridge has got a lot more importance and a lot more riding on it than we thought it would before the first leg kicked off. So yeah, it's a big period now for Chelsea, and big need for Chelsea to respond, because as I said, Chelsea season could potentially be almost all but over come the end of January, which would be near enough disaster. But that's going to wrap it up for this week, this episode of That Chelsea Podcast. It's been a very disappointing game. It's been a very quite short episode compared to usual. But again, we don't need to go into depth. You've seen this story before, people. There's only so many times I can regurgitate this to you. It was very poor. The players were not at the level required. Poch was not at the level required. And they need to be up for it. And they need to put things right. Because said, going out to Championship side Middlesbrough in the Carabao Cup semi-finals would be an incredibly low point, would be, you know, one of the lowest points, regardless of what season Chelsea have had in the past. They would probably outperform those just due to the fact it's lower league opposition that they've been put out by. So no, it's all of a sudden, you know, it's a big, big period coming up now from Mauricio Pochettino. It's a big, from here on in, 18 days or whatever, till that, you know, Fulham, Middlesbrough and Aston Villa games. So yeah, make sure you're with us on that Chelsea Pod as we cover this potentially crunch period in Chelsea season, potentially crunch period for Mauricio Pochettino's Chelsea future. Who knows, maybe we're just being overdramatic, but it does feel quite big now given the what's gone on tonight. Before we go, I'll get Harrison to give himself one last plug. Harrison, tell people where they can find you and all your stuff.
Personal stuff at HBirds2 and then at the Chelsea social for the Chelsea social.
Lovely stuff. As for us, we're on Twitter or X at That Chelsea Pod. We're on Instagram, That Chelsea Pod. We're on all your usual podcast platform providers, Apple, Spotify, etc. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, please leave a rating review. It goes a long way. Whenever I tweet the pod out, any likes and reposts go along, where they can also, you know, just helps get the pod out there to as many people as we want. And yeah, this was a very disappointing night, people. Hopefully we put, you know, do the first thing, step to putting it right and get that win in the London Derby against Fulham in the early kickoff on Saturday. But then I said, a little break and then attention turns to a crunch second leg against Middlesbrough at Stamford Bridge. Yeah, we shouldn't be saying that, but we are. It's just the state of Chelsea right now. One step forward, two step back, it seems. Tonight was certainly one of those nights. But until the next episode, keep the blue flag flying high.
I've got another 8 hours at work now to think, how the fuck did Palmer miss that chance? Well, three, really. You knew as soon as that happens, we're not going to win. We've seen it with Wolves. We've seen it so many times this season. Yeah, work to do. That was bad. Really, really bad. One step forward, two steps fucking back as per. Sports Social Podcast Network.